Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
global stocks rally, bonds retreat, and the dollar weakens.
Risk assets gain following optimistic reports on trade talks.
Europe's services sector shows strong momentum.
And Theresa May turns to Jeremy Corbyn for help on her Brexit deal.
The House subpoenas a former White House security officer over clearances. Plus, Lori Lightfoot is the first black woman to be mayor of Chicago. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Yankee bats were quiet. They lost in the ninth inning to Detroit at the stadium. Mets with a quick start and held on at the end to win at Miami.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Flexport. Say hello to Flexport and the operating system for global trade. Combining cloud technology and analytics, logistics, infrastructure, and supply chain expertise. Learn more at flexport.com/OS.
And stocks around the world are gaining this morning. 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 15 points. Dow futures ahead by 114. NASDAQ futures up nearly 50 points. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. The CAC in Paris up 0.7%. Price of the 10-year down 11/32. The yield at 2.51%. Two-year treasuries at 2.32%. NYMEX crude up 0.3% or 21 cents. $62.78 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1% or $1.50 at $12.96.90 an ounce. The euro at 1.1242 to the dollar. The yen at 1.1151. John.
And Nate, we begin with the latest round of trade talks as negotiators from the U.S. and China meet in Washington today. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Bob Moon.
Capping a round of talks in Beijing last week, China offered some conciliatory gestures on auto tariffs and stemming its exports of the opioid fentanyl, hoping to keep up positive momentum as the talks shift to Washington. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer sounded optimistic on CBS Face the Nation.
If there's a deal to be done, we'll make it. The president wants us to make a deal.
But he echoed the president's own concerns about compliance.
We have to make sure that if we do the deal with China, that China lives by the deal.
Which creates its own possible issue, leaving tariffs in place while China's compliance is monitored and assessed. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thank you. We heard more on the negotiations from President Trump overnight as he addressed the GOP's annual spring dinner.
We are standing up to China's chronic trading abuses and theft of intellectual properties and so many other things that they've done to us.
Protection for intellectual property remains an unresolved issue in trade talks. There's also no agreement on exactly what will happen on tariffs on Chinese goods once a deal's reached. But the Financial Times reports most issues surrounding a deal have been resolved.
And that hint of a resolution gave a lift to stocks in Asia today, with equities in the region gaining around 1%. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, John and Nathan. Also helping sentiment was a better-than-forecast increase in a gauge of China's services industries, adding to readings earlier in the week on manufacturing that showed improvement too. In Tokyo, the Nikkei 225 rose 1% to finish at 21,713 points, while Hong Kong and Korean markets also posted solid gains. A Voyager-friendly federal budget lifted Australia's ASX 200 by 0.6% in Sydney, and Indian stocks continued their run, the Sensex remaining at record highs during trade. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's not just Asia, Juliet. Stocks in Europe are rising as well, with miners and automakers leading the way. Italy's benchmark index is set to enter a bull market, gaining 20% since a two-year low reached in late December.
The gains come following strong service data from the euro area. Purchasing managers' indexes for March beat estimates in all four of the region's largest economies. Services sector growth accelerated in Germany, Spain, and Italy, while activity in France contracted less than expected.
Meanwhile, in the UK, Theresa May is calling for a cross-party approach now to Brexit.
I'm offering to sit down with the leader of the opposition and to try to agree a plan that we would both stick to ensure that we leave the European Union and that we do so with a deal.
The Prime Minister is asking Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn to work with her on a compromise that can pass Parliament. We get the latest now from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts live in London. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Yes, a change to Theresa May's Brexit strategy. As the UK Premier reaches out across the House of Commons to Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, the two politicians will face each other today for Prime Minister's questions. As well as the usual parliamentary theatre, watch out for the reaction from her own side. Many Brexit supporters in May's party fear that working with Labour will lead to a closer future relationship with the EU and perhaps a customs union. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thanks a lot. Oil rising for a fourth day with Brent crude closing in on $70 a barrel for the first time since November. Up next for oil, the Energy Information Administration releases its weekly inventory report. That's at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time. And Bloomberg's Jessica Summers reports.
Analysts are forecasting a 900,000-barrel decline in U.S. crude stockpiles in this week's report. Yet sources say API reported a 3-million-barrel rise in supplies. Analysts will watch for a rebound in refinery processing rates, which we normally would see this time of year. But many plants have faced unplanned outages that could lead to that potential crude build. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brent crude at $69.68, NYMEX at $62.69.
All right, turning to corporate news now, we're learning more about the faulty sensor involved in the first Boeing MAX jet crash last October when a Lion Air flight plunged into the Java Sea. We get the story from Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora.
A faulty sensor on the Boeing jet that crashed last year had previously been repaired in a U.S. aircraft maintenance facility before the tragedy. Documents obtained by Bloomberg show Extra Aerospace, a repair station in Florida, had worked on the sensor, which triggered problems linked to the October crash. Investigators in Indonesia have been examining the work that Florida repair shop performed on the sensor, which sent faulty signals that triggered nose-down movements on the plane. There's currently no indication the same shop did any maintenance on the Ethiopian Air jet that crashed last month. That disaster prompted the grounding of Boeing's entire 737 MAX fleet. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Patrice. S&P futures this morning point to a higher open on Wall Street. Right now, they're up 15 points. That's up 0.6%. The Dow futures up 110 points. That's up 0.4%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 48 points higher, up 0.7%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. 5:07 on Wall Street, and time now for news from around the world. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Lori Lightfoot has been elected the next mayor of Chicago, becoming the first black woman picked to lead the country's third most populous city.
In the Chicago we will build together, we will celebrate our differences, we will embrace our uniqueness, and we will make certain that all have every opportunity to succeed.
Lightfoot faced a runoff yesterday against Toni Preckwinkle, who is also a black woman. Lightfoot won 74-26%. The House Oversight Committee voted to subpoena former White House Security Officer Carl Klein related to the White House security clearance process. A whistleblower has accused Klein of granting security clearances at President Trump's request to people who were initially rejected. House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings.
It calls out for us to look at it and look at it carefully. If we fail to do that, then I consider it a major breach of our responsibilities.
President Trump is responding to a Democratic-led effort to have the full Mueller report released to the public. The president says he wants someone to investigate the people that started the Mueller report.
People did things that were very, very bad for our country and very, very illegal, and you could even say treasonous.
President Trump says that his threat to close the border has had the desired effect on Mexico's willingness to intercept migrants. Bloomberg's Irv Chapman reports from the White House.
The president spoke as he met with the Secretary General of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Mexico has been starting to apprehend a lot of people at their southern border, and they say they're going to stop them. Let's see. They have the power to stop them. They have the laws to stop them. If they don't, the border is going to be closed, 100%.
The president had some pushback from Senate leader Mitch McConnell.
Closing down the border would have potentially catastrophic economic impact on our country. I would hope we would not be doing that.
The president said he's been talking to some Democrats about changes in immigration law. At the White House, Irv Chapman, Bloomberg Radio.
The Wall Street Journal reports the pilots of an Ethiopian Airlines 737 MAX jet that crashed last month had initially followed Boeing's emergency procedures, but they still failed to regain control of the plane. Global News 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter.
powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:10 of Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, not exactly a murderer's row in the bottom half of last night's Yankee lineup. Mike Tauchman, Clint Frazier, Tyler Wade, Austin Romine. Four regulars are hurt. Three were rested. Yankee bats were quiet. A night after they beat the Tigers 3-1, they lost 3-1 as Detroit scored twice in the ninth inning off Aroldis Chapman. Yanks need to win today, 4 o'clock, just to get a split of the season-opening six-game homestand against the Orioles and Tigers, believed to be two of baseball's worst teams. Much better start for the Mets and a great start last night. 5 runs in the first inning. Another big hit for Ahmed Rosario, 2-run double. Mets had to hang on at the end. They beat the Marlins 6-5. Justin Wilson got a double play to end the game. He earned the save for Jason Vargas. Mets have Jacob deGrom going today, so a good chance for a 5-1 road trip. The home opener is tomorrow. Washington fans booed Bryce Harper at his return. Enjoyed seeing Max Scherzer strike out Harper twice, but the $330 million Philly had the last laugh. Three hits, a homer, three RBIs. The Phils won 8-2. Off to a 4-0 start. Harper on getting booed.
Like I said, you know, I have 45,000 people back in the city of Philadelphia cheering me on. And, I mean, that's sports. I mean, that's part of the game, I guess you could say. I'm excited to be a Philadelphia Philly. I'm excited to be part of this team. I'm excited, like I said, to go out here and compete with these guys every single day.
Red Sox 1-5, shut out for a second straight game, a 1-0 loss in Oakland. Texas and Lipscomb, NIT semifinal winners at the Garden. NBA and Oklahoma City's win over the Lakers. Russell Westbrook, 20 points, 20 rebounds, 21 assists. No one's had a stat line like that in the NBA since Wilt Chamberlain. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John.
All right, thanks, John. The University of Southern California's $69 million sale of naming rights for Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum drawing scrutiny. Critics say it dishonors the historic stadium's dedication as a memorial to soldiers who fought and died in World War I. USC announced last year the stadium will be renamed United Airlines Memorial Coliseum as part of a $270 million renovation. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by BNB Bank. From Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with businesses in their financial success with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail. BNB Bank, many success stories, one bank, bnbbank.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks advancing around the world and bonds are retreating on upbeat economic reports and renewed hopes for a U.S.-China trade deal. We check the markets throughout the trading day every 15 minutes on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 15 points. Dow futures ahead 115, NASDAQ futures up by 49 points, the DAX in Germany up 1.3%, the CAC in Paris up 0.7%. Price of the 10-year down 12/32, the yield at 2.51%, 2-year treasuries 2.33%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 9 cents at $62.68 a barrel. COMEX gold up nearly 0.1%, $1.20 higher at $12.96.70 an ounce. The euro at 112.46 against the dollar. The yen at 111.48. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, we check in with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Chicago has made history with its newly elected mayor. Lori Lightfoot has been elected to replace Rahm Emanuel, becoming the first black woman picked to lead the country's third most populous city. The House Judiciary Committee votes today on whether it will issue subpoenas to compel the delivery of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on the Russia investigation. The panel's chairman, Jerry Nadler, says they will do what is necessary to see the full report. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets were winners along with the Orioles. The Red Sox lost to the A's 1-0. The Nationals and Giants lost. In the NBA, the Warriors won. In the NHL, the Bruins won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:20 on Wall Street, we are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Oil rising for a fourth day. Brent crude close to topping $70 a barrel. Stephen Shork of the Shork Group is stopping by this morning to tell us where we go from here. Stephen, good morning to you. First off, what is the pivot that's taking place in the oil market right now?
Well, right now, Wall Street, our friends on Wall Street, are taking another hit of a little China trade talk hopium. So we are really piling in right now. In fact, since the start of the year, Wall Street is now holding its most bullish position in the market. In fact, they're holding their most bullish position since October, when WTI the NYMEX was last trading at $75 a barrel. So we're at that point, that DY over DX moment, from a seasonality demand standpoint. Right now, demand for crude oil is at its lowest point that we're going to see this year. This is because of refinery maintenance. So refineries are buying about 1 to 1.5 million barrels fewer here in the United States than they will be over the next couple of months. So we're coming into that part of the season where demand is going to start ticking up over the next 2 months. You juxtapose that seasonal event with what we're seeing, that Saudi Arabia and Russia are still taking barrels or attempting to take barrels off of the market, and it's creating a story right now. Okay. From a technical standpoint, the market, the continuous contract on NYMEX closed above its 200-day moving average yesterday. So that is perhaps a signal that will start to attract some other investors into this market.
I know you like to look at the data we get each week from the CFTC data. Does that tell you there are more speculators than people actually using this stuff, industry and whatever?
Certainly, and then that is really the case, because we are at that point, that weak demand point. The refineries are out of the market for a good extent. Therefore, the refiners are obviously the fundamental guys out there. So this market is being fueled. Open interest is rising. When we do look at the CFTC, managed money accounts, the hedge funds, are, as I said, their positions at a year-to-date high. And with that respect, for every one, when we look at historical volatility, for every $1 a bearish speculator is making on the market, a bullish speculator is making nearly a $7 risk bet. So that 7-1 ratio is telling you how much risk that the bulls are willing to take on relative to the bears. And historically, what we're seeing here is that Wall Street has demonstrated its ability to take that risk trade even higher. So they still have bullets in the chamber to push this market higher.
I mean, that always raises the specter, for me at least, of a speculative bubble in the short term.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what we saw back in September when we went into our fall maintenance season. So oil prices last year peaked in August, right when the driving season was coming to its conclusion, and we were we hit Labor Day. But by the time we hit the end of September, oil prices were $10 higher again. In fact, they were at a year-to-date high at the point of the season when we were historically at our weakest demand. So at this stage, the Wall Street story was back in September that the Iranian sanctions were going to go into effect. Why this was a specious argument is because that news was 4 months old, and we hadn't heard about it at all during the summer. But, of course, when we took fundamental demand out of the market, that's when Wall Street began hyping the story. And we did have that bubble at the end of September, okay. And Wall Street got hammered in the fourth quarter. So we're not at a bubble level yet, but that's always the fear if we continue to push higher going into this season.
Is demand and supply out of whack? Is it aligned? Is it, well, where is it?
Demand is for crude oil, it is soft, but it's supposed to be soft at this time of the year, and we do know demand will pick up. The real concern, John, for me is what we're seeing in the gasoline market, the RBOB market in New York Harbor, which is where you make and take delivery. With what we've been seeing in the spread action, with a bid coming into the front end of the price curve relative to back end of the curve, we're certainly getting telltales that the market is short of on-spec, that is to say summer-grade gasoline at this point. And that's probably being exacerbated by the fact that the refineries are not making as much gasoline as they normally do because of maintenance, but that's really been extended because what we've seen down in Houston in the Gulf of Mexico with on-again, off-again disruptions to vessel traffic stemming from first and foremost fog that is halted traffic, and then, of course, the cleanup from that petrochemical fire and spill into the Gulf. So the refinery economics are being squeezed right now, which is putting a hold on supply and exacerbating demand right now.
Stephen, always a pleasure. Very interesting. We appreciate it. Stephen Shork of the Shork Report, the global oil market this morning. NYMEX crude, by the way, right now up 14 cents. That's the domestic price, up 0.2%, 62.72, otherwise known as West Texas Intermediate. And Brent, which is the more international benchmark, that's up 32 cents a barrel right now, up about 0.5%. Still flirting with 70, 69.69 a barrel for Brent. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. We're brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Eisner Amper, named Best Global Accounting Firm for the third year in a row by Hedgeweek, a leading hedge fund industry publication. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/FS.
And we're just about 4 hours away now from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world. Bonds are retreating on renewed optimism that the U.S. and China will reach a deal as trade talks resume in Washington. While the two countries are still at odds on carrying out and enforcing a deal, the Financial Times reports most other roadblocks have been cleared.
Meanwhile, in the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May is asking the opposition Labour Party for help with Brexit. We get details from Bloomberg's Robert Hutton in London.
The Prime Minister abandoned her strategy of making Brexit a project of her Conservative Party. Instead, she asked Jeremy Corbyn, leader of the Labour Party, to rescue her. The pair will face each other across the House of Commons. His approach and her response will offer a clue as to how their talks about a joint Brexit approach are going to go. In London, Robert Hutton, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Rob, thank you. Services providers across the euro area ended the first quarter on a stronger footing than economists anticipated. Services sector growth accelerated in Germany, Spain, and Italy, while activity in France contracted less than expected.
Here in the U.S., we get the first of three readings this week on the labor market. At 8:15 a.m. Wall Street time, ADP issues data on March private payrolls, with economists forecasting a gain of 175,000. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
America's labor market has been on a roll, but Bloomberg Economics says hiring could lose momentum this year as the economy moderates. In February, job growth at private employers retreated from a 13-year high, 183,000 versus January's hefty 300,000 advance. On Friday, the government issues official employment data, which also flashed signs of weakness in February, a gain of just 20,000 non-farm jobs. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. On the corporate front, Intel has named George Davis chief financial officer, filling the post with a man who held the same position at rival Qualcomm for the past 6 years.
And crude oil rising for a fourth day, with Brent crude close to topping $70 a barrel for the first time since November. As we check prices right now, NYMEX crude is up 15 cents. That's up 0.2 at $62.73 a barrel. And Brent crude up 36 cents a barrel. Right now it's at $69.73 a barrel. That's up about 0.5%.
And not too far from 70 either. S&P futures also higher, up nearly 15 points now. Dow futures up 110. NASDAQ futures up 47 points. Straight ahead, we bring you the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nate. 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Chicago made history electing former federal prosecutor Lori Lightfoot as its first black female mayor, as the city struggles with fiscal problems and gun violence on its streets.
Our duty as a city, as leaders, as neighbors, as people, is to stand with these mothers and children and put an end to this gun violence once and for all.
Lightfoot, who also will be the first openly gay leader of Chicago, soundly defeated Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, 74-26%. The House Oversight Committee voted to authorize the subpoena of former White House Security Officer Carl Klein for his testimony on information related to the White House security clearance process. The whistleblower has accused Klein of granting security clearances at President Trump's request to people whom officials had advised to turn down for clearance. House Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings.
Serious questions have arisen as to their criminal records, financial problems, drug use, conflicts of interest.
President Trump retreated from a threat to close the U.S. border with Mexico, saying he was still ready to do it, but that the Mexican government had begun stopping migrants from entering the U.S. Authorities say a woman carrying two Chinese passports illegally entered President Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach, Florida, over the weekend and lied to a Secret Service agent. The suspect also had four mobile phones, a laptop computer, an external hard drive, and a thumb drive found to contain malware. Democrats criticized the Trump administration for siding with a court ruling arguing for full Obamacare repeal. Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer accused the president of assaulting Americans' health care. It comes as the drama over Obamacare continues. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This takes care of an issue the Democrats ran on to take control of the House in the midterms. The president says he decided to do it himself.
So even though the health care is good, really good, it's much better than when the plan comes out, which we'll be showing you at the appropriate time. It's much better than Obamacare.
And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell confirms it will not be brought up in the Senate.
He did say, as he later tweeted, he accepted that.
Democrats question whether there really is a plan. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:36 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, John Stashower.
John, the Mets, who started last season 11-1, are 4-1 and have Jacob DeGrom on the mound today in Miami ahead of tomorrow's home opener. They won last night 6-5, scored five runs in the first inning, then held on after Seth Lugo gave up three runs on five hits. Justin Wilson got a five-out save. The Yankees got another strong outing from Masahiro Tanaka, but struggled to score against Jordan Zimmermann. And Detroit scored twice in the ninth inning off Aroldis Chapman to win 3-1. The go-ahead run on an RBI hit by Dustin Peterson, his first major league hit. Aaron Boone's team is now 2-3.
Masa threw great and didn't even necessarily think he had his best stuff, but just pitched so well and was able to get us deep into the game. And then Otto came in there, you know, getting that early run and just couldn't tack on. Frustrating when you lose, you know, a well-played game to that point. But they don't credit. They got to Chappie, and that's going to happen.
Homestand ends today, 4 o'clock start. Red Sox lost 1-0 in Oakland. Boston 1-5, shutout back-to-back games. Seattle won again, now 6-1. Tampa Bay is 5-1. Blake Snell, 13 strikeouts for the Rays. Milwaukee off to a 5-1 start. And the Phillies are 4-0. An 8-2 route in Washington. Bryce Harper returned to D.C., shook off the boos. He had three hits, three RBIs. NBA, the Warriors took a big step towards having home court throughout the West with a win over Denver. Oklahoma City beat the Lakers. Russell Westbrook, first player since Wilt Chamberlain to have 20 or more points, rebounds, and assists. At the Garden, NIT semifinal wins for Texas and Lipscomb. Championship game is tomorrow. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John, thanks. 5:38 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with a cover on unicorns spreading fear of an end to the bull market. Mike Regan wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Lyft and its competitor Uber waiting in the wings. That'll be the big gorilla IPO of the year. But there's a bunch of others, obviously. I mean, Airbnb is expected. The list goes on and on.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why? Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly, weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. And it is now 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined live by Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, John. New York-based Blue Apron has named former Etsy executive Linda Findley-Kozlowski as chief executive officer, replacing Brad Dickerson. The meal kit delivery company also affirmed its outlook for significant improvement in financial results. Shares rose in extended trading. A New Jersey mayor's up in arms over Manhattan's new congestion pricing zone. He's even suggesting a retaliatory commuter tax on Big Apple residents. Jersey City Mayor Steve Fulop told NJ.com, "We can do the same thing. one day after lawmakers in Albany supported a toll for drivers heading into downtown Manhattan. Connecticut's state treasurer, Sean Wooden, has announced $828 million in retail orders of general obligation bonds. That breaks the record of $364 million received in retail orders last year. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
Ed, thanks a lot. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Joan Doniger telling KMOX listeners in St. Louis why members of Congress are calling out Express Scripts about the cost of insulin.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Delta is extending a lucrative credit card partnership with American Express.
I'm Naira Chahich on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London, where following today's Prime Minister's questions after Theresa May turned to her Labour rivals for support on her Brexit deal.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that MyPillow is suing a rival pillow maker alleging infringement of trademark, copyright, and packaging.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting SUVs carried the auto industry to a gain in 2018, but they sputtered in early 2019.
Yeah, those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And President Trump's latest threat to close the border with Mexico has sent the price of avocados soaring. One measure of Mexican avocado prices jumped 34% yesterday. S&P futures right now, they are up 15 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stock index futures are rising, tracking European shares higher amid speculation. The world's two largest economies are getting closer to a trade agreement. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures nearly 15 points higher at the moment. Dow futures ahead by 115 points. NASDAQ futures up 47. The DAX in Germany up 1.3%. The CAC in Paris up 0.7%. FTSE in London, little change to the downside. Price of the 10-year down 12/32nds, the yield at 2.51%, 2-year treasuries 2.33%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 16 cents at $62.73 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, $1.30 higher, trading at $12.96.70 an ounce. The euro at 1.1251 against the dollar, the yen at 111.48. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Chicago Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot says the city's voters have created a movement for change. Lightfoot yesterday became the city's first black woman and openly gay person elected to lead the nation's third largest city. She beat political veteran and Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle 74% to 26%. The House Judiciary Committee will vote today to authorize a subpoena for the full Mueller report. Attorney General William Barr says he'll release a redacted version in a couple of weeks, but missed the Democrats' April 2nd deadline to turn over all 300-plus pages. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets were winners, along with the Orioles. The Red Sox lost to the A's 1-0. The Nationals and Giants lost. In the NBA, the Warriors won. In the NHL, the Bruins won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. And we're joined live now by Jen Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion editor in our London bureau. And Jen, let's start off with Therese Raphael's piece. Prime Minister May does the minimum to keep a Brexit deal alive. Why do I feel like I'm in the movie Groundhog Day? The Prime Minister presiding over a seven-hour cabinet meeting. The result is that, what is the result? She budged?
That's right. I mean, to be fair, for Prime Minister Theresa May, she's not one to
produce a great capitulation, hard turns, and brake screeching. What she's done, Raphael says, is the minimum to keep the Brexit deal alive. Putting the ball into the Labour Party's court and forcing them to get on board with a cross-party solution or become the joint owners of a no-deal departure. You know, so the Labour Party for the past 2 years under Jeremy Corbyn has, you know, claimed to be determined to stop a no-deal exit, and now it has a chance to be part of the solution.
Is that all?
Well, there's more to it than that. Raphael has taken a look at how we can read May's approach yesterday, and what she sees is an admission that the Conservative Party is incapable of coming together. In reaching out to Labour, Theresa May is giving her hardliners a pretty substantial challenge. So look, suppose there's a cross-party solution that results in Britain leaving the EU by May 22nd, but on much softer terms than the hardcore Brexiters would possibly be able to countenance. The question now for them would be, are they really willing to forego actually achieving Brexit in order to get rid of what they would see as a softer Brexit? You know, is that the outcome that they would really go for?
What does this change tell us, though?
But what it changes is that, you know, May's recognized that she needs to find a way to tweak the political declaration. This is the non-binding part of the exit package in order to get it over the line. Labour wants a commitment to closer ties with the EU, and this is their chance to secure that. I mean, May's reached out to Labour before, and it's not really come to anything. But nevertheless, given that the clock is ticking, this time could be different, because finding a cross-party solution could be the last hope for her of avoiding an election, a long extension, or worse, failing even to deliver Brexit.
All right, so the bottom line question for me, has anything really changed, Jen?
I think this recognition on the part of May really is worth taking a look at. I mean, the idea of reaching out for and developing a cross-party solution is something that we could have, you know, perhaps seen quite some time ago.
Let's move on to the next piece from Lionel Laurent. Facebook's Brussels whisper misses the mark. Laurent says Facebook isn't making itself any friends in Brussels with its approach to regulation. What is he referring to?
So we saw over the weekend an op-ed by Mark Zuckerberg that expressed support for regulation. And so his head of global affairs, Nick Clegg, also known locally as the former Deputy Prime Minister of Great Britain, has approached policymakers again with another sort of push to get the kind of regulation that Facebook wants to see. New rules as big as broad and possible, but with a caution to avoid balkanizing the internet. Laurent reads this as a really odd mix of lecture and apology, and considering the list of scandals that have hit Facebook of late, adopting this kind of high-handed tone really seems really badly misjudged.
So what's missing from the approach with European regulators?
Well, Laurent would very much like to see a recognition that Facebook's business model might be at fault rather than some kind of dereliction of duty by regulators. So, of course, Facebook has made recent changes. It does, for example, allow users to delete their browsing history. But Laurent points out that these measures always seem to come in fits and starts and kind of after the fact.
What would actually get to the core of the issue?
What regulators really ought to be looking at is what's key to the Facebook business model, its targeted ads. If regulators were to collectively constrain Facebook's targeting abilities, the company would nevertheless still have an advantage as an advertiser thanks to its long experience and market power, but we'd at least be getting closer to the heart of the matter. And Laurent also points out that time is running out. There was a comment in the European Parliament this week that Zuckerberg has created a monster that he's not capable of managing. So if politicians step in to have a go, this may not be the result that either Zuckerberg or Clegg would be expecting.
All right, Jen, always a pleasure. Thank you. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion and at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing OPIN go. Nate.
All right, John, thank you. 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning. Joan Doniger is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The top Republican and Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee are asking the three top drug middlemen about the rising cost of insulin. Express Scripts, CVS Health, and Optum Rx are scheduled to testify next week. Homeland Security has told an appeals court a regulation granting work permits to the spouses of certain H-1B workers doesn't directly increase job competition for U.S. tech workers. And MyPillow says a rival company, Ontel Products, ripped off its trademark, copyright, and trade dress through advertising and packaging for a competing pillow.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching this morning, President Trump threatening to close the U.S. border with Mexico. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Leon Fresco, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Immigration Litigation at the Department of Justice.
Leon, let's start with the legality before we get to the potential lawsuits. U.S. presidents have closed the border or parts of it four times in our history. The last time was by President George W. Bush after 9/11. Are there specific laws Trump could do this under, or is it just an aggressive use of executive powers?
Well, there are two different ways he could do it. One, he can use the same authority he used in the travel ban statute, but to use it in a broader way so as to say, I'm not going to allow non-citizens who are trying to enter through the southern border to enter. Or he could do what he's kind of saying that they're doing anyway because of the staffing issues, which is just to sort of de facto close ports of entry along the southern border by rerouting people who are allocated to work at the ports of call to quote-unquote responding to the border surge at the border, and so then you'd necessarily need to close those ports of entries because they have no one left to staff them. And it seems like they're sort of trying to create that second de facto approach right now in terms of being able to say, well, this is why these lines are extremely long and or closed at some of our ports of entry.
Might that push more migrants who might have come across legally at the border post to coming across illegally? And is that the point, perhaps?
Well, so this is the problem, is the administration has tried to say that the way people should apply for asylum is to come through the ports of entry and not to come illegally. But at the same time, the administration has also shrank the capacity for people to apply at the ports of entry. So if you do that, then people have no other choice than to cross the border illegally and to apprehend themselves, essentially, to say, I'm going to turn myself over to the Border Patrol so I can begin the process of applying for asylum. And that's how this crisis is different from everything we've seen in the last 30, 40 years, is it used to be that the Border Patrol would apprehend the people crossing. Now the people crossing apprehend the Border Patrol and they say, I'd like to enter the system to apply for asylum.
That's Leon Fresco. He's former Deputy Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Immigration Litigation at the Department of Justice. He spoke with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law. It airs weekdays at noon, Wall Street time, here on Bloomberg Radio. You can also find legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures pointing to a higher open on Wall Street. S&P futures up 14 points now. Dow futures ahead by 115 points. NASDAQ futures up nearly 46 points. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.